Today, I'd like to look with you at another Old Testament story and its lesson, the story of the lost book of the law. That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 2 Kings 22. We'll look at the one from Chronicles today, same story. In this story, God's going to speak to us about his word. So I'd like to start out today by asking you a few questions about your experience with the word. What do you think your life would be like without the Bible? What difference has the Word of God made in your life and the Bible continue to make in your life? Do you love it more and more? Do you delight in it, read it each day? Or has your love for the Word grown cool, such that you neglect and have forgotten and ceased to read it each day at home? Today, then, let's listen and see what, as the Holy Spirit unfolds to us the story of the lost book of the law, see what he'd teach us today through this Old Testament event about God's Word and our relationship to it. So let's start out with the background just a little bit. We're talking here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We're hearing here about a young king, Josiah. Now, Josiah reigned from about 640 B.C. to 609 B.C., and there'd been a whole lot of kings in Israel and in Judah before him, and most of them, by and large, were bad. Almost all of the kings of Israel were evil, and many of the kings of Judah likewise did evil, leading the people astray after idols and false gods, bringing themselves upon themselves destruction and wrath from God. But now, a young man comes to the throne who's one of the best, the most righteous kings Judah ever had. His name is Josiah. So let's read about him. This is 2 Chronicles 34, beginning verse 1. When Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. This is a righteous king. And what did he do? He basically pulverized to dust the false idols that were in Judah and ground them to powder. And he cleansed and purged Judah and Jerusalem. But then, in the 18th year as king, something amazing and strange happened. Let's read about that. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So that's good, isn't it? The church, the temple in Jerusalem was in neglect and disrepair. He wants to go fix it, make it look sparkling new again. They came to Hilkiah the high priest and delivered the money that had been brought into the house of God. So they're in the temple, right? They're bringing the money. They delivered it to the workmen who had oversight of the house of the Lord. The workmen who are working the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. So that's great. They are in the business right now of making it look new again, making the temple of the Lord beautiful. But then we read, while they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king, and further reported to the king, all that was committed to your servants, they're doing. They've emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the house hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Shaphan and others, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So there's the story, at least as far as we've read it so far. What can we learn? What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell us today through this Old Testament event? Well, first thing he's trying to tell us is that the most important thing that God has ever given us in this world is his word, his written word. For by it, a man lives. Jesus, remember, was once contending with the devil. And he quoted Deuteronomy 8 to the devil. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Notice, God's word, Jesus says, "It is written," was written down in a book. That's the most important thing God's ever given us. These words in here. Do you believe that? "For by it we live," Jesus says. Here, they found the book of the law of the Lord through Moses, it says. What is that? What's the book of the law of the Lord of Moses? A lot of modern liberal scholars want to be all fancy and amuse themselves with weird ideas about this, but what is it? The Bible simply tells us. It's the book of the law of the Lord through Moses. All right? The scriptures. And in essence, they found the Bible. It recorded God's word to the people and his covenant with Israel. It taught them the way that they should go to receive his blessings and how vital it was. For it says in the book of the law of the Lord, Deuteronomy 12, God says, "Be careful to heed all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever. For there was also a curse in this book if they were not to heed them. If they went after false gods and evil, great wrath would come upon them." Therefore, what do we hear? What did King Josiah do? He finally hears the words of the book, and his answer is he tore his clothes. He repents. And the king said, "Go, inquire of the Lord for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all according to all that is written in this book," said he. So what's the Holy Spirit teaching us here? Again, there's nothing more important in all the world or in your lives than this book. It is written, contains the words of God for us. By it, we can know God. We can know his will. We come to know him through Jesus. We receive his blessings. But also, if you turn aside from it, you go to harm and destruction. For Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And do you believe that it is by the word of God that you live? Yes. Amen. Thank you. Second thing the Holy Spirit teaches us here through this story, though, is how easily and how quickly people turn aside from it and forget it. They cease to read it and study it, listen to it, and they treat it of a little account, the word of God. In short, they lose the word of God given them. For what happened to this book of the law in those days? How did it come to be lost? What's up with that? How do you lose the Bible? How do you lose the book of the law of the Lord through Moses? How do you just misplace that if you're in Israel? But they did. God told them they were to keep it always before their eyes. Check out how serious God was about this. He told them, even when they're in the wilderness, "When you have a king," this is what I want the king to do, Deuteronomy 17, "when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he'll write for himself in a book a copy of this law from that which is in charge of the Levitical priests, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel." Isn't that cool? God said, When you have a king, he's to take this book and write a copy and meditate on it. Be a good thing for us to do, wouldn't it? How on earth then did they lose the lost book of the law if this is what they're supposed to be doing? Answer, they didn't do it. They didn't write the book. They didn't write a copy for themselves. And in fact, they just despised it. The kings and the people cast it behind them. There was no room for the word of God in their hearts or in their lives. And so pretty soon, it was relegated to a back storage room, janitor's closet, basically, of the temple in Jerusalem, and forgotten. So much so that when Hilkiah the priest finds this book, he'd heard of it, but he didn't even think it existed anymore. He's like, I found the book! Shaphan, the book! And then Shaphan says to the king, I got a book! And the king says, it's the book? Yes, it's the book! Seinfeld, the book! A dusty leather bound scroll, words on it having probably faded over time, lost in a forgotten back corner of a storage room in the temple. What's the Holy Spirit trying to tell us here? We too can lose the book. Consider some of the ways that people have lost the book. Take American society, for example, has largely lost the book, would you not say? In public schools, for example, the Bible has been lost. June 17, 1963, in the court case of Abington versus Shemp, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Bible was to be removed from American public education. They ruled that it was unconstitutional. Now, that's kind of interesting in itself, isn't it? Since from colonial days all the way through until 1963, it was a part of American education. And the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution had no problem with the Bible in schools and the Ten Commandments. But in 1963, the court decided that they knew the Constitution better than the men who wrote it. And so our government basically said, we don't want it in there anymore. So they removed the book. And in essence, they lost it back in some janitor's closet, back storage room of the schools, actually even taken out. Look at what's happened since that ruling. From a USA Today article from 1985, September, get this. Before 1963, what were the biggest problems in schools in America? Here are some of them listed. Talking, chewing gum, making noise, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in the wastebasket. Since 1963, the removal and losing of the book in schools, rape, robbery, assault, burglary, murder, suicide, vandalism, extortion, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, gang warfare, pregnancies, abortions, venereal diseases, and bombings, not to mention public school shootings. Things that you would 50 years ago never have even dreamed possible. What does it teach us? What's the Holy Spirit saying? When you lose the book, all hell breaks loose. Okay? These are the results. In a Bible quiz, a group of schoolboys answered it this way. They thought an epistle was the wife of an apostle. That the Tower of Babel was the place where Solomon kept his wives. That the Mosaic Law was the law compelling people to have their floors overlaid with colored stones. Isn't this true? Most people today could care less whether the Bible is a heaven-sent message from God to us to give us life or not, for the most part. I mean, not saying everybody, but there's a large part of our culture. They run after the Gospel of Thomas, the lost Gospel of Thomas, some other ruinous heresy book or movie, Da Vinci Code, but they will not run to the Word of God, which, as Jesus said, is the one thing we need. The one thing needful that people need to find life and to find eternal life in this life, because it bears witness and testimony to Jesus Christ. It's a lost book to our society. Another way you can lose it is churches. Churches can lose the Bible. Are we not the keepers of the Bible? How can a church lose the Bible? Well, there is a fairly older study in the 1980s, a poll, 7,441 Protestant pastors were interviewed. How many of them believed in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day, which is the heart of the gospel? 51% of Methodists denied it. Pastors, 35% of Presbyterians, 30% of Episcopalian priests, 33% of American Baptists didn't believe that Jesus rose bodily from the dead on the third day. What? You kidding me? Why? How could they possibly come to that? Because they lost the Bible. How many of them believe that the Bible was God's inerrant, infallible word, according to this study? 87% of Methodists denied it, 95% of Episcopalians, 82% of Presbyterians, probably Presbyterian USA, and 67% of American Baptists didn't believe the Bible is God's without error word to us. So, you doubt the resurrection as well. But God says the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction, God says to such. You've corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So you can lose the Bible in church. In fact, that's been the case of the whole human history. I mean, church history, right? The apostles found and knew the word of God under the Roman Catholic centuries of superstition. They lost it. Along comes one Martin Luther. He rediscovers it. The 18th century after him, the age of reason and enlightenment, they lose it. Today, many people have found it. Other churches have lost it. Lost and found. Thing is we need to find it and hold it fast and keep it and not lose it, for it can be lost. So now, how about us? Can we lose the Bible? Can you personally lose the Bible in your life? Yes. And it be forgotten? Well, the Bible's in everybody's home, almost everybody's homes in America. How often is it used? I saw this terrible thing one time. What's that? I saw this terrible thing one time. 1880s, this is on eBay, 1880s family Bible, like brand new, never before used. That's one of the saddest things, isn't it? Reminds me of the story of this boy who saw the Bible on the center table of the house, and he said, "Mom, is this God's book?" She said, "Certainly it is." He said, "Well, I think we better send it back to God, for we don't use it here." Yep. Whenever, friends, you are not using the Bible, you're losing the Bible. Have we gotten that way at all in our personal lives at home and ceased to read and meditate on the Word each day? Especially we who are so privileged that we have the written Word right in our houses and multiple copies of it. In your life right now, do you read it often? Does your Bible look like my grandmom's, gone home to glory? Look at this. I brought it in for you to see. Check it out. Probably either my granddad or she put electrical tape all over it here. Look, her Bible comes out of the cover, falls out. It's got all these little notes and stuff all over it in it. If you turn to a page, we got underlinings and highlighting marks and articles she's read and tape on the pages to try to hold it together. In fact, look, the whole book of Ephesians and all the way through Hebrews here just falls out of the Bible. That's the way our Bible is out of luck. Because this is a person who found her Bible. And this is the way our Bible is out of luck. But I want to ask you, is your Bible a leather-bound scroll collecting dust in a forgotten corner of the temple of your house? Then if so, then you are reliving this story from 2 Chronicles 34, where they lost it in a back corner of the temple back then. So, next thing is, when you find the word, or if you already have it, what should be our response? God shows us right here. The Holy Spirit, we read, "And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes." He repented. "And he commanded the Hilkiah and others, saying, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me and those who are left in Jerusalem and Judah concerning the words of the book that's been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that's poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book.'" So that's a great response. He believed it. He repented. He went to inquire, what shall come of me? The prophetess, Huldah, gives the answer. And I love this. She says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book, which was read before the king of Judah, because they've forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled out upon this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, who thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words which you've heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. What's the Holy Spirit telling us to us there? So even if you should lose the book, and your society should lose the book, and your church should lose the book, and you lose the book for a long period of time, when a man finds the book and turns in repentance and faith to God, God is quick to pour mercy and forgiveness upon him and to restore that person. God will do the same to you. Even in a country where it's cast it behind its back, churches have done so. God restores us. He restores us in wonderful forgiveness and mercy to build us up in his word. So what is it then that the word says? Let's open up that word right now and find it again. What does the word teach us? If we were to open up the book right now and find it, we read this. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you have this book, what does it give you? It gives you freedom. It gives you freedom because it gives you the truth. And what truth does it give you? It teaches you about Jesus Christ. Jesus once said to the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness to me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. These words give us life, people, friends, because they bring us Jesus Christ, his testimony, his words, his gospel. They teach us, as we read, which is lost to the world. Jesus says, I tell you, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Flee from the wrath to come. When you lose this book, what's the world think? They treat sin very lightly. They don't take it seriously. They don't believe in a coming judgment, nor do they understand or confess that they are sinners in need of a redeemer. But this book sets us straight. It teaches us all these things, opens our eyes to the truth. And we know that no human being will be justified in God's sight by works of the law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But the word also teaches us of the love of a Savior, Jesus Christ, that we may be sure that we live in his grace and his care forever. And you can be sure of that today. For hear of this word from Titus. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. This book teaches you about Jesus and his cross, and you have a living relationship with him through his word, by which you've been born anew to a living hope and saved. So this book is so important for us, for this is what God sets forth for us. And no wonder then he's so serious that we not lose it, but hold it fast. For the word brings us life. And it brings us life because it brings us the truth. And the truth that it brings us is the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which a man is saved and comes into a wonderful, forgiven, redeemed, grace-filled relationship with God, which God wants to build you up in every day. And he'll do that with you as you open the words of this book and meditate on it. So, in conclusion, dust it off. If you've lost it, resolve never to lose it again. Find it. And let's build each other up, encourage each other, for in it we find our Savior, Jesus, and the promise of eternal life in Him. Amen.